sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Have you actually seen the movie before we start? Just kidding. And I am John.
Yeah. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Sinners. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts. And then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first.
Killer theme song, by the way. I got to give it up. The hey now, all you sinners. Put your lights on. And they never do.
They
don't listen.
Everlast. Anyway. Yeah. Everlast. Took me a second to get there, but I got there. We're going back to TV Corner, reviewing Yellow Jackets Season 3, Episode 9, titled How the Story Ends, or more like, when will this end? Am I right?
How the story ends for one character.
Yes. More death on a show about death. So
yeah. You know what, I guess two people die this episode.
Oh yeah, that's true. You're right. Cool. What are your overall impressions before we get started, because we're nearing the end, we have one more episode left before the finale. How are you feeling?
I'm kind of whatever, but also I am enjoying there's some subtle things that I think are being played with, like why Callie still hasn't shown anybody the fucking letter.
Yeah,
I'm sure that'll like fix a lot of things.
It's gonna be satisfying. Watch next episode when they do it or not.
Because I'd be totally cool with you finding out Callie was a person that killed Lottie.
You'd be cool with it? Why would you be cool with it?
I mean, just because I feel like it's the
logical. That's how I'm feeling now after this episode. I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. No way. I mean, this is why I hated the fact that they tried to set up Shauna, Thaisa, Van, and like Misty all had motives to be in New York at the time of Lottie's death, but none of that was ever plausible, especially after, you know, Misty finding out about the DNA on Lottie. It's like, well, it's either Shauna or fucking Callie. So I'm leaning towards that Callie.
Yeah. I feel like it's Callie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cause Callie was there when Lottie tried to kill her mom. Mm.
So none of that matters. You
know, yeah. I think Callie has been playing the long con and also trying to decide, like, you don't get to kill my mom. I'm going to kill my mom
next season. Maybe.
Yeah. And Jeff is going to be cool because he's a doofus and I love him, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so
Which also, you can tell they're psychotic because they decided to grind up weed on a cheese grater, which is fucking insanity.
It's just like the most unbelievable part about a bunch of girls eating people.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair. Yeah, I didn't even clock that. Yeah, I was not paying attention, so. Okay. Let's start with the flashback stuff, kind of just generally talk about it. A lot happened. I feel like a lot of the more interesting things are happening in the flashbacks, to be honest.
Sophie Nalisi, how do you say your last name?
Sure, yeah. Nalisi, yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Young Shauna,
yeah.
I like that she's been resorted to a jump scare sort of plot device.
Fucking.
To be like, every time somebody's like talking about something secret, like, camera pans and her head's like randomly in like a tree, like, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, dude, chill out.
They've fully turned her. She's now the boogeyman of this place. Yeah.
Like eternal fucking scowl on her face.
I just can't believe. I mean, I just never. I think it's because they cast Melanie Lewinsky as older Shauna, and it just never. It's just unbelievable that she's this person out in the wild. But I guess that makes sense because, like, this is where she probably felt the most free from everything, you know? Because I believe, like, she settled into the life she had with Jeff, right? She's not what she wanted. Because remember, she was like, she got accepted into like a college, was it Harvard or Brown or some shit? In the first episode, she was a little smarter, but she kind of let Jackie bully her around a little bit. And so she always seemed...
And then she became the Jackie, right? Now she's like jacking Melissa.
She's jacking Melissa. All night long. And
Melissa was played by Hilary Swank as an older version. And you know this because of her backwards baseball cap.
That's the only way.
And her baseball tee or whatever she's wearing.
I thought that was one of the dumbest reveals because I'm just glad she took the hat off at some point because my God, dude, that would have been terrible shit.
And now because of the flashback stuff, you're like, Melissa totally needs to kill Shauna, I guess. Shauna fucking did a bunch of horrible shit to her.
To everybody, she like...
But again, like they're all unhinged. I don't know about marrying the daughter of the woman that she saw get murdered, which we still haven't seen happen, but it's going to happen.
Right, yeah. Like we haven't technically met her wife and child, but we just saw like the back of their heads and stuff before they left. So
what if the big reveal is that it's Walter? Just kidding.
Walter. Walter was, this is all a figment of Walter's imagination, the whole show.
He had mentioned he had a rock fall on his head or something, and then he had a big settlement check or something.
He imagined the whole Yellow Jacket scenario. Makes complete sense. I think the thing to note here is, you know, Shauna got the gun a little too quick, I think, from Natalie, because Natalie's the one who's kind of the train killer. She's kind of like the huntsman of the group, which is why she rose to leadership pretty fast in previous seasons. So now Shauna is clearly a rifleman now, you know, she can she could do that.
Yeah.
Here's a twist I did not see. I didn't realize that the spike pit in the forest was built by Travis to kill Lottie. That was a revelation for this episode. So 100% we're gonna get the pit.
I thought he was gonna kill her.
He went to a lot of work to kill her. to kill Lottie, so.
And then we don't even know who actually kills Lottie. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Now, right? It seems like a lot of like everybody's trying to kill Lottie, but they don't actually just want to kill Lottie. They're totally cool with killing each other in like very blasé ways, but Lottie's got to be, because nobody wants to be the person that killed the mentally ill person. That's fucked up.
Playing it safe. So
hold on, my favorite. Started laughing because Lottie's like, Travis, I just want you to feel it. Javi's with us. Javi, I'm like, no, I think he was in you and then you passed him out in your shit when you ate him. I think that's what happened to him.
Pretty much.
I think he fertilized the ground, kind of.
Yeah, I think Melissa stepped on him too. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Gave everybody constipation. So I don't know. Yeah. And, Shauna, to kind of combat Shauna, some of the girls and some random girls team up together, right? So, you know, it seems like they're kind of like, this is kind of what we kind of expected, that the girls would divide.
Which kind of sucks to see right now, because this is not how the first and second season played out when we had Juliette Lewis.
Right. Yeah.
It's different than, it doesn't make any sense anymore.
What do you make of the odd turn of Hannah stabbing Cody?
I feel like they just didn't know how to write that, hey, there's no survivors, and then they got to have it to where she records herself before she gets murdered.
Well, she has to be more alive. We don't know if she's one of the survivors, right? Or no, she is. She did. Did they say she died? Right, Melissa said.
No, she's dead. Right, because her daughter is the only person that survived that whole thing. And
so she's Picker, obviously.
Yeah,
that's my guess. Yeah, probably. You know what I mean? I guess that's what I suspected. Yeah, that she's probably Pick-Girl.
I just didn't understand the whole like her trying to justify. I guess she was gonna kill Joel McHale. Like that was her plan, I guess.
See.
I don't understand. There was a lot of weird dialogue, right? Like, I'm like, what are you doing?
It's a wild turn. It's this is where I think Yellow Jackets falls apart, because it's like, how does she go from kind of being slightly attracted to him with her husband, you know, and him, you know, third wheeling her husband a little bit, or cucking him almost. And then all of a sudden they're together. And then for reasons, the only reason they give is that she wants to just make sure that she gets back to her daughter. I'm gonna fucking stab this guy without. See, had they had spent more time with the actual character Cody, maybe showing more of a misogynistic, maybe more of like putting the women down, like kind of coming at that way, because that would.
I mean, I was hoping that he was just gonna be a liar, but they wouldn't even give him that.
He gave almost nothing, right? Yeah.
When she asked him, like, why is this name on your knapsack? He's like, I don't know. I got it at a fucking thrift store. What do you want from me? It's like, just make him a liar. Don't make it to where, like, oh, she's going to kill an innocent guy just because that's going to serve the plot in this hypothetical situation. I'm guessing she thought about ahead of time. I don't know.
it's just rushing to the end, because I feel like I almost feel like we could have had a whole season of just, if this Cody character was there in the group, because that would break up the dynamics, right? Because him just being an older male ingratiated into this whole female tribe, that would kind of like show the power dynamics. They could have explored some of that.
Could have been a real Mickey Rourke and whatever celebrity show he's on right now situation. Did you hear about that? He got kicked off the show.
For what?
For being assaulty towards the women on the show.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of a piece of shit.
Surprise.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I kind of feel like that would, because they've completely, like, they just killed the coach, right? And then Travis is, like, completely neutered and on fucking mushroom tea. So it's like he's has no voice in this female-led tribe. Him coming in could have changed the power dynamics of it, because he's an older man and he's clearly like knows his way around the woods and like can kind of be more authoritative and powerful. Maybe some of, you know what I mean? And they're younger, so they feel obligated to listen to him because he's an older man. Like, they could have played with that storyline, because it's so
like a faction there and then a Lottie faction, because Lottie's like, no, we need to stay here.
Yeah, but no, of course they just like, boom, he's dead. We don't know what to do with this character, so let's just fucking ice him. He's gone. He's dead.
Can't afford Joe McHale for more than 3 episodes.
Which is fair. That's fine. Joe McHale's a very in-demand actor. Quickly, we could just say, unfortunately, yes, we do get the van death. Another disappointing thing.
Which I guess we were kind of expecting, because it seemed like she was supposed to die 3 times before.
Yeah.
And they really want to push this narrative that there is something in the woods, even though they keep logically explaining things away.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm thinking that they all need to die, and it's like a very Final Destination type of scenario.
I think it's a rather odd turn that... Well, I mean, to a degree, it makes sense that Van is not a killer. Thais is the killer, right? She's more of the one that's, you know...
So, and I guess, yeah, it's young Van was trying to explain to her in the previous episode, you need to stay alive to become a hero, but she didn't explain what type of hero. And I think it was just to bring back real Thaisa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's about it, actually. I think that's.
Van was, I think you said earlier, before we started recording, Van is just basically there to serve Thaisa's turn, right? It's basically the extent of it, which is unfortunate because I do like. The character, I did like both, you know, another great instance of them casting two great actors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
I just don't understand why the young versions of these people are like the all-knowing. I guess because it was such a big, big pivotal moment in their life.
Right.
And absolutely nothing happened to them in the next like 30 years.
Yeah.
Or 20, I keep forgetting. Are they trying to make them younger than they're supposed to be? No, right? It's like, I think like 30 years.
Yeah. I think it's present day, right? Or the adult stuff is present day, our time, right? This would be 20, 25 or something. They're very loose on that. Very loose on how long it's been. But yeah, Melissa kills her. So I'm assuming Thais is going to get back at her at some point, right? That's probably the obvious way to go.
I think so, or at least Shauna is going to kill her because Shauna's pissed off at her for moving on and marrying some chick. I guess I'm guessing Shauna kills her. I mean, she also falls in the pit. But I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of fast and loose things going on, I feel like.
I do love that when they actually have us, like, they say goodbye to a character, they show, like, the young and old version. I kind of want, yeah. I think what they'll probably end up doing is getting all the characters back in that plane. Except for Natalie, right? Because at least is not coming back. Even for, like, one scene, she's yeah. never coming back, unfortunately. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, I'm assuming they're all going to die and they're all going to lost and be going on a plane all together somewhere. The exact same ending.
Yeah. Either, they all die or like maybe Misty's the only person that stays alive.
I can see that. She clearly is the survivor of the group. Before we move on to the main review, just also wanted to mention that Misty finally in the flashback stuff, she finally has the beacon and Natalie knows about it and is like, shocked. So I'm assuming that's how they get out, right? They fix the.
Which I'm also plays into why the relationship was the way it was in the first couple seasons. Why Misty was so hell bent on like Natalie's my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Definitely. All right, one more to go, and we'll be done. Maybe forever, John. I don't know.
Maybe, has not been renewed yet.
Yeah, so.
Maybe because everybody's like, what the fuck is going
on? Nobody knows what's going on. Did you see that Instagram post that like Melanie Lynskey put? She says, she was saying something like, season wrapped up really well. We had a lot of fun. And then she's like, but we'll do better next year or something, <Yes. laughs> which I think she deleted already. But yeah, like they were saying, like, it just seems like there's a lot of like chaos behind the scenes, which I think is like, which is why it motivates a lot of what's happening on the show, unfortunately. So I think that explains a little bit of the weirdness that we sometimes feel.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
All righty. Let's move over to our main review of Sinners. John, do you want to give us a plot in 5 words?
I was going to say real quick, what's the name of the actress that plays adult Thaisa?
Oh, I just closed the thing. Was she in Sinners? That's the I have open.
I was just going to say that she's going to want to leave the show because they're like, hey, so it's supposed to be back to regular Thaisa, so can I take off these contacts? And they said no, so she's like, all right, kill me off.
Was it Tiani Cypress? Tiani Cypress, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You're welcome. Alrighty, John, okay. Do you want to give us a plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Sinners, Kuglers from Dusk Till Dawn.
Spoiler.
Coming in at number 2 for Sinners, Worst Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Ryan Coogler's Sinners, Buddy Guy, A Vampire Story.
Buddy Guy, The Vampire Story. Alrighty.
That part was a little unbelievable for me. I was like, okay, this kid turned into Buddy Guy. They don't even talk the same way.
So I did. I know, we'll get that. Maybe we should say that one for spoilers. Cause I say that for spoilers. But yeah, what are your first impressions of Sinners?
I liked it. I feel like this movie kind of suffered from everybody hyping the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it was fine. I don't think it deserves that sort of acclaim, to be quite honest. It felt like a very fastly made movie. I think we both complained about, even in theaters, if we're not watching the 70 mil print, there's so many scenes that aren't even rendered all the way through. And it's like, dude, this is supposed to be a fucking theatrical release. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
But, I thought the acting was really fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking story though. Yeah. I mean, I made a joke about it, but I felt like it was, I'm sure it's taken from other things, but it was so similar to From Dusk Till Dawn throughout the entire movie that I had a hard time not thinking about that.
For me, I'll open by saying, I think, Ryan Coogler is probably one of our most important filmmakers, and should, all his movies should be seen in theaters.
Because of Black Panther 2, yeah.
So I feel, and I think that he's one of our, I thought there was so much I like about this movie, and I like large parts of it, but the ones where I felt like him, there's a sequence in this that I, when he's kind of like, he's so bold in the way he tells his stories, and the way he like explained, you know, his idea of how music and how it's all connected is like this whole like sequence and stuff like that, which I thought was beautiful and almost brought me to tears. I loved that it was just, he's very singular in that he's able to put his point of view across very matter-of-factly. And he's able to clearly express his ideas and his thoughts and stuff like that in the movie. And that's what makes him uniquely him. And I think that he's, and we've known this, even though, you know, like you had just mentioned that Wakanda Forever is kind of like a misstep, but we, from Black Panther to Sinners, these are big, big tentpole movies with action and like, and audience made movies, but are deeply personal movies. That said, my criticisms is that, like, I feel like they could have cut like 20 minutes from this movie and it would have been fine. So yeah. I felt like the it did take me, the first act of this movie, honestly, they could have trimmed like so much of that first act.
there was a moment, because there's a lot of like, oh, let's get the drama going and the, you know, with the relationships and, you know, these twin brothers come back from, everybody thinks Chicago, but then you find out they've been all over the fucking world just being criminals, I guess.
Right.
As also alluding to, like, they were both in
the army. They're both servicemen, yeah.
But I remember, like, leaning over to my partner and going, like, where are the fucking vampires?
Exactly.
Get back to the vampires.
And, yeah, I feel like that was probably the thing that, and I'll give you an example, like the character, they spent so much time introducing to all these characters, and not for nothing, I think Dario Lando, I'll start with Dario Lando's character. I think it was a great introduction to his character. Did it really add up to any of the other acts? No, not really. Yeah. And another instance of a character that they spent so much time, or any time, on the character Cornbread?
Oh, Omar Benson Miller. Yeah, yeah.
Great actor. One of my favorite actors.
Another fucking, like, yeah, classic. Like, he's amazing.
He's an amazing actor. They spend a lot of time, like, introducing him, and he kind of feels like he's going to be important to the plot. But when he actually, you know, the last thing that happens to him, I'm trying to avoid spoilers, but the last thing that happens to him happens off screen. We don't even see it. It means nothing. So even though, that's where I feel like, you could have trimmed so much of like this introductions and like setting set places and stuff like that. And I kind of felt like the movie was slow to start. And there was like kind of like, in my opinion, clunky ways that they introduced some of the characters. Specifically, what was her name? Oh my God. I do not remember this name. I literally just asked you about it. It was a Hailee Steinfeld. Like, I thought her character introduction was so clunky. It was a good, like when she started like confronting, Not Smoke, his brother, Stax. I thought that was a good interaction, like a good way to start the conversation, but like...
Oh, we should also mention, so the brothers go by nicknames Smoke and Stax, so I guess like together they're supposed to be the Stax Smoke or something, and the Stax Smokes.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to keep going and see how many people get pissed off at me.
Book Stax.
the Stax Smokes.
I just, yeah, and I kind of felt like there was...
Oh, and also introducing Michael B. Jordan's slightly older twin brother, Michael A. Jordan.
Yeah. I felt like, so that aside, middle of this movie, the sort of horror aspects of this movie, I thought incredibly were the best, easily the best stuff in this movie. And like you said, it is very similar in plot to Dusk Till Dawn, which to me is, there's even a scene in here that's that they steal from fucking The Thing with the garlic and stuff. Like that's a totally taken from The Thing. And even to me, even the end takes from another movie. And like, but I kind of feel like Ryan Coogler is wearing these influences on his sleeve. You know, he's even said as much, being inspired by Robert Rodriguez's movies for this particular movie. And I think it shows, and I think it's still a well made, accomplished movie. Aside from the first act being kind of, in my opinion, slow, really, really slow in my opinion.
And also rushing, I'm guessing the editing. I mean, it was great. It was just like, you can definitely tell what parts of the movie they took their time with and what parts they probably try to shoot out as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the introduction to Smoke and Stack is, you mentioned it. It looked kind of bad. Like right. Michael B. Jordan trying to play off of himself did not look natural.
I was actually like, I agree. There's two particular scenes that we've already spoken off camera about the fact that, when we first meet the twins, it's, to me, it looks bad. I've heard otherwise that people think that this was a great achievement. I personally didn't. I thought it looked kind of clunky. I thought it looked very fake. But
not to say anything about his acting.
The everything acting after great, that, was just I loved. Kind of weird. Yeah, everything after that, all the little things they did after that, I loved it. I honestly kind of forgot it was the same actor playing two parts. I honestly forgot. I thought they not only are distinctly defined in their mannerisms and how they played them. So, you know, Michael B. Jordan was excellent at that, but also just the way they carried themselves, just a lot of like, you know, Michael B. Jordan just did an amazing job playing this dual role.
And you could like pretty much even, I guess if you've seen any horror movie, you know that the Stack character is probably going to die.
Right? I don't like know. Possibly, does he?
Right?
I don't know. Spoilers.
No, I'm asking. Like, if you've seen any movie like From Dusk Till Dawn, which also deals with brothers, I'm just going to keep mentioning everything that might be exactly.
But like which one was obsessed with feet? I don't. That's how you distinguish who's Clooney, who's Tarantino.
You know, actually, I don't think I saw any feet in this movie. Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I think the vampires don't wear shoes.
Vampires don't wear shoes.
I think so. I actually, they don't wear shoes. Also, Wunmi Mosaku is like one of my favorite actresses of current day. Mm-hmm. And I hate whenever she gets in a movie kind of like this, she's always resorted to like the witch. Where like she knows everything about witchcraft.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I would argue she's the romantic lead. You know? Her, 100%. Yeah, her love story was
where it's like there's no argument. Like the movie starts to happen so fast that there's no arguments about certain things. They're just like, no, you're right. That's it. Just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
I agree with that. I agree when they kind of reveal that, that everybody, I don't know if this is a spoiler saying what they are vampires, right? I mean, that's not a spoiler, is it? Me personally, in fact, I don't think it is.
Even in the movie, if you wanted to figure out what they were, it didn't matter. Eventually, somebody's going to be like, no, they're vampires. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know exactly what they see. I had the same issue where it's like too matter of fact, and they accepted the fact that they were vampires.
And there's like maybe two people that didn't want to believe it for like 5 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. What did you think? Because I really liked the way they did the vampires, not in terms of like a technical side of it, because just more, I love the idea that they are saying like, hey, join us. We're a one-minded singular community and we like dance together and you know what I mean? Like we can kill people. Yeah, we're just happy people, which I love that because their life in Mississippi in the 30s is, you know, is of course, you know, they don't have their rights or freedoms yet. You know what I mean? So,
which is also, is it a spoiler to say where the main vampire is from?
No, I don't think so.
So he's like from Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's supposed to be the whole like when you know Europe went and conquered Ireland or whatever, fucking killing his parents in front of him. So this vampire doesn't really go into detail about when they become a vampire, but they do talk about certain things about religion playing a role in it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it is also, I think, the fact that they were Irish people were brought when they came to America, they were persecuted. They're like completely like they're treated like, oh, these are trash people. Like, why are these immigrants coming to our country? Like Italian people, like just the different immigrants in general. So it's kind of just makes sense to be like, I think that's maybe why they made him Irish in the first place, was because of that, because it's kind of like, join us because we're all the minorities. We're all being persecuted against white man or whatever, you know.
Real quick, what year does this movie take place? I think it was
38, 39, something like that, I believe. Is what the title card said.
Then where the fuck did Stat get a grill from? Anyway,
I don't know. What do you mean, like?
Well, maybe it's just like dental work or something. But he's got a grill.
Oh,
I was getting the time wrong or whatever.
Right.
I thought maybe there were fake teeth or I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. I didn't question that, but yeah, I know what you mean.
And also, so yeah, it's what? So I'm guessing the main vampire came from
Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Lily Des Bros.
what the fuck's his name? A drink your milkshake guy?
Daniel Plainview.
Yeah. Danny Day Lewis killed Paul Dano. His father in front of him. And, Leonardo DiCaprio
drank his milkshake. Yes.
Trying to rewrite history.
Yeah.
And then I think once, you know, he got, you know, everybody's being racist against the Irish people. He went in and blew up the movie theater that Hitler was in.
What you're thinking of is Gangs of New York. Not There Will Be Blood, right?
No, I was just trying to remember Danny Day-Lewis's name.
Bill the Butcher in Gangs in New York.
Yeah.
He was very Irish.
And then they went into a movie theater Hitler was in and blew it up.
Shot him first and then blew him up. Looked at, what's her name? What's her face's feet? I don't know. I love feet stuff. Really quick, I wanted to say, what did you think of the vampire's motives, like, or even the design? Because he said that he took inspiration for their eyes lighting up red from the last Puss in Boots movie.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so
I thought it was really cool because whenever any of their faces fell into darkness, it looked really fucking rad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in like, there's a dance sequence. Where they're outside and the main vampire is kind of giving a speech and his face is in and out of light.
Right.
And then everybody in the background is dancing behind him. We just see like glowing white eyes or red eyes or whatever. Look really cool.
Yeah. I love that idea, that concept, the execution of it. And I loved, that they're like this, like, come join us. We're all good. We're all people. Would you going to eat some of you? Just got to like go through this process, you know, but like,
But that's the thing that kind of bothered me. It seemed like, they try to keep, and this is me being super nitpicky about the script, but they're trying to keep all of their individuality, but it seemed to be only serving the purpose of the hive mind, which is like the main vampire, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then he has a whole thing about talking about and this is the thing I was making fun of, but his father getting killed in front of him. And it seemed to be like there was somebody was saying something. I'm not very good with religion, but saying the Lord's Prayer before he gets killed.
Right.
Comfort and blah, blah, blah. But literally like 15 minutes before that, he talked about how he's stuck on this plane and needs to go back to his world. And I'm like, which one is it?
Yeah. I gotta get what you're saying there.
It also begs questions. The way the night gets resolved doesn't make a whole lot of sense if they can all read each other's minds. And I won't go into the spoiler aspect of that, but I was like, wait, what? How did he not know that was going to happen if they can all share each other's thoughts?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, we could talk about that in spoilers. What did you think about the other lead in this, the Sammy character, Sammy Moore, who was like the guitar player? Technically, he's the lead. Technically, right?
Yeah.
Technically.
I thought about that too. I was like, I know technically he's supposed to be the lead, but obviously Michael B. Jordan takes, like, commandeers the fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay. I don't know.
I liked him. I've never seen him in anything, but I think he had very, like, he had a kind of like a presence about him, even when he wasn't speaking. I thought he had that character down, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. With that in that respect, yes, but I don't think it was a very well-written character.
Mm. How so?
You get like the basis of whatever you need to know about him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But how old is he here? 6 years old. No, he's
teenager, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Like 13.
I would say a teenager. I would say young, a little older, but
because he becomes somebody
without spoiling it. Yeah. They kind of allude to something. Yeah. Later,
which I don't know. I don't want to do the math on that, but I don't know. Like you just get like, oh, he just wants to play the blues because he's got a hurt soul.
He's good at it. I mean, they kind of insinuate this sort of like folklore that amazing musicians with gifts can somehow connect with the other side.
That is like, that's what you get from him.
Right.
And then it's Michael B. Jordan's story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Michael Jordan.
Both of his stories.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah. And you know, the kid gets like a love interest, which is kind of a weird, like,
great actress. Though I liked it. I like the actress. The actress was fantastic in
this. Is great.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name?
Jamie Lawson.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, I thought she was great too. I thought actually that the whole movie was great, like in terms of like
Jamie Lawson
performances. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she's the mayor. I remember, yeah. Cool. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
They're all vampires.
Okay. they're all vampires. The white people are the bad people.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah.
And it all stems from an indigenous folk tale. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Fuck you, Haley Seinfeld. She did this shit. Okay, yeah. It's clearly inspired by Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah, obviously inspired by very
literally. And I was gonna make this joke. I made this joke earlier, but I had it in my head already that about, which is like when they basically start a bar or whatever. And he's like, oh, what are we going to call it? And immediately I thought Titty Twister. Call it
the Titty Twister. Yeah.
From Dust Till Dawn.
Or what did they call it? I don't know the history behind this, but a juke or
Jukes
something?
Jukes Cafe or something, right? Jukes Bar, Jukes Cafe, something along those lines. Yeah. Which I don't know the significance of. Did enjoy the Asian people speaking in Southern. That was fabulous. Very authentic.
I don't know. Yeah, I thought there's a lot of beautiful shots. Like I said, you can see where Ryan took his time with what was going on. Like the whole, who was it? Probably Smoke, right? Smoke that goes to procure, what is it, like 60 pounds of catfish or something, and then asks that guy, the only Asian people in the movie, that asks his wife to make a sign for him and all that stuff in the back and forth. Mm-hmm. And he like commissions this like young lady, like a very young girl, to like look after his truck that's full of booze.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes out and shoots the guy and then shoots the other guy. I was like, this is really cool and not rushed. So when it wasn't rushed like that, I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if I needed too much of like, oh, I need to go visit the grave of my dead baby. Like, I don't know. It felt really bad.
I thought that was a very moving scene. Like that, I mean, where it ends, it kind of sets up Smoke.
Being ripping off Gladiator. Yes.
The Gladiator ending. where he sees
immediately what I thought was going to happen.
Did you
too.
Think that,
like,
too?
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh. And it's like, yeah. Oh, there's Woonmi's his love interest in there. And
right. Well, I thought it was incredibly poignant. Like, I knew it was the Gladiator ending once I saw it, where he early in the movie, it sort of set up the property they buy from the white guy, and then he asks him if he's a Klansman. He's like, "Oh, the Klan doesn't exist." So you end up finding out that, like, they had planned to not only take their money but to kill him, and then take back whatever their land or whatever was the plan. But once they get,
which is like also saying, and it's all valid as a thing. When the main vampire is like, so we're kind of doing you a favor because you're going to die anyway, but now you can live forever, kind of.
Yeah, happily with us.
And then everybody's saying, yeah, like, so.
That's an interesting persuasion, right? Like,
yeah, like, spoiler alert, Stack dies. Even though he plays the Quentin Tarantino to George Clooney's From Dusk Till Dawn Brothers.
Right.
Which is surprising that he died. Kind of like Quentin Tarantino did in From Dusk Till Dawn, mm-hmm. because he's a younger, reckless brother.
Yeah. Right.
But how he's trying to explain to him, like, hey, dude, like, this is our freedom. Like, we're kind of fucked because they set up that they came back into town with a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of, like, booze and a lot of, like, possibly guns and artillery. Oh, there were spoilers. So it comes back with that shit, too.
Right.
So they did something really scummy and, like, not only conned Al Capone, but somebody else, some other side or whatever.
Yeah.
So eventually they were going to get their comeuppance, I think, is what was being established.
Yeah. Had this not turned into a vampire movie, this easily could have been like a gangster movie. Grant Coogler's gangster movie, right? Yeah. Like, set in the South. I mean, a period piece gangster movie, which would have been a fabulous movie, too. But he's decided to mix genre.
We could still have that if... So what I was getting at is the main vampire gets killed by Sammy. His guitar, he has a resonator, and the guitar breaks because he smacks him with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, the resonator portion, which is like a big, like, metal disc that's on top of the guitar, got stuck in the main vampire's head, and he was pissed about it. About to kill Sammy, and then from behind him, Smoke, Michael B. Jordan, comes in with that half of the guitar and stabs him in the chest. With it, the heart,
mm-hmm.
and the whole time they establish, like, this vampire sets up a hive mind thing, so he knows what everybody's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he get snuck up on?
Well,
and also, what's this whole story about? Oh, when I was a kid, it brings me comfort because my father died in front of me. It's like, well, are you? Did he want Sammy because that would help him move on from this world? Is that what the idea was? I don't understand.
Yes to everything you're saying. Okay. No, I mean to me it kind of played out like, so I'm assuming he, when whoever this thing, vampire thing, came from wherever he came from, he took that guy's body, so he has his memories.
Yeah,
right. So which is why he's having that, like, his motive is to go back, obviously, right? At the vampire part of him. But the guy remembers the first, whoever that guy is that he changed, remembers his life. And he came from, which is why he mentions that, like, oh yeah, this prayer and everything.
So we're getting like a very coincidental moment in this vampire's life.
Right? Yes, from the prayer.
Guessing the indigenous people killed all the rest of the vampires that were in the area, I'm assuming.
Or hunting them.
And then we're trying to get him, who I guess is the main vampire, because now we've established they don't share all the same sentiments, because Smoke and Haley Stanfield get to live forever because they ran away. You know what I mean? Now they're just independent vampires. I'm like, I don't know.
So I think they two things. I think they set up that they, it's Beatrice, who Smoke's love interest or whatever, says that if this isn't, though they are a hive mind, we find out she says that just because you kill him doesn't mean everybody else gets turned back to who they were. He's not, you could kill the main vampire and it wouldn't matter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so if was he, this is a coincidental moment in this main vampire's life.
Why he brought up
people didn't kill the main vampire. Like they killed everybody else that wasn't the main vampire. You get what I'm saying?
They were hunting him, but it's unclear how long they've been hunting him, whether he was the main vampire, whether there's other vampires. There's really no conclusive answer to it.
They establish he's like the main vampire
that we meet. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that what we all are going
yes.
to.
Yes, he's the main vampire.
He's trying to do.
Yes. Yeah. For this take, yes, he is the main vampire.
Yeah. And everybody's trying to do what he wants. And spinning it like this is what we all want.
Yes.
So does that mean Smoke and Haley Stanfield?
Stax and Haley Stanfield.
Oh, yeah, Stax. Yeah, Stack and Haley Stanfield are independent vampires now? Like, they're just kind of going on.
Didn't they die? And... They're dead. Nope. They got burned in the sun.
What? Stack and Haley Stanfield? No, they have that thing at the end of the movie.
I didn't watch the end of the movie. What? I didn't watch. Yeah, I just took off after the credits. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, this is before the credits, though. This is, you find out that Ryan Coogler got Buddy Guy to be adult Sammy, and you know it's him because the vampire had scratched his face and he still had the same scars. They play and it's just like, oh, he's still alive and he's still singing these songs and he's still tormented by that day.
So this happens post credit because this didn't happen during the movie.
Oh yeah. So what happened? Man, I don't know, this might piss you off if you actually saw this.
Okay.
I was like whatever about it.
They show up at his concert because I did see him like playing the guitar.
The bar is empty. Yeah. The bar is empty, right? Mm-hmm. He's just at his own bar. You find out, and he's drinking like whiskey, and the bouncer goes like, "Hey, Willie, there's like a couple people here. They said they got a couple $100 they want to spend. Is it okay if they just come in?" He's like, "Yeah, it doesn't bother me much." And then in walks, and it's 1990, right? In walks Haley Stanfield and Michael B. Jordan. Like all decked out in like very expensive 90s attire. They're very fashionable. And they like pull down their glasses and the bartender kind of looks at their eyes and like runs away. And they have a whole conversation.
About what?
About how they survived. Because Willie's like, how did you survive? And you see Haley Stanfield ran into the forest right when the beginning of the commotion happened. And that Smoke did not stab Stack.
Didn't kill
him. Instead said, "You just promise me you won't hurt Willie." And that was it. So for centuries, or not centuries.
Decades. Not,
centuries but for like what, like 80, 90, 80, well not, what was it? It was 1940 something, right? 60 something years. they've just been silently supporting Willie. And then he goes, "But hey, I know you're getting at the end of your life. You know, I could help you live longer without any of that pain." And Willie says, "You know, I've seen enough of this damn place." And he's like, "All right, fair." And then that's just kind of how it ends. It ends with like, I didn't like that electric shit, but I like when it was back in the day, the way you did it before. Like, and it cuts back to them in the car when he's playing the guitar for him for the first time. And he's like happy about it. And he plays a song for him, and they're both like staring at him, and they clap, and you didn't see anything.
Dude, I'm gonna say none of this happened, dude. I'm saying you're fucking.
And then Stax is like,
"What is this? Like, you fucking punking me or what?" This is literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
This did fucking happen.
To me, it did, because the credits roll. I saw Ryan Coogler directed by Ryan Coogler. To me, this is all post-credit bullshit.
So it's like he's still got the same grill in, the one that magically adapted to his vampire.
Okay.
and they're like, they leave. Oh, there's a whole conversation about Willie says, "Hey, tell me one thing. Before that night, that was the best day I've ever had in my life. Was that day good for
you?"
Jeez,
how long is this movie? Like, what the fuck, dude?
I can't believe it.
I didn't watch it. I left.
A whole like extra like 15 minutes.
I left. It was the end of the movie.
And he's like, "It was the best day of my life. It was the last time I saw the sun. It was, you know, the first time I heard you play music, maybe whatever like that."
Yeah.
And it was also the last time I saw my brother. So it's always going to be my favorite day. And then they leave, and Haley Steinfeld has one line throughout the entire thing and says, I don't know, like, take it easy.
Take it easy.
Nice seeing you, Blade. Little Willie. Something dumb. And then they walk out. I can't believe you didn't see this.
It sounds inconsequential to the movie. This just sounds like fluff, that masturbatorial fluff that, like, doesn't matter to the plot of the movie.
No? Because that's where I was like,
stupid. It's everything you're saying means nothing.
Yeah. I was like, this is a very corny, hey, I also like the movie Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah. Who's Brad Pitt? Who's Christian Slater? Who's Tom Cruise in this? Oh my God, dude.
Oh man, I can't believe you missed that whole thing.
I'm actually glad, because like I had this perfect experience leaving the theater and having my thoughts and opinions of it. Now everything you're saying kind of...
That's where I said, like, I did that. I now your confusion makes total sense to me. I was like, you know, when I kept saying, like, then why do you know, Stack and Haley Steinfeld get to like live? Like, no, wait, they're dead. I'm like, no, they're not. They've lived forever.
No, yeah, I left. I was like, I don't know. I mean, that seemed like, I mean, when credits roll, I leave, dude. So I'm not a post credit guy.
Hold on, I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna delegate with one of my correspondents.
Otis,
Tess, I'm not lying, right? There was like, was it post credits? Like, did it say directed by Ryan Coogler and then it popped up? I don't remember it like that, but yeah, there was a, and like another like fucking 15 minutes or something, right?
Yeah. See, so does it count? None of this counts, and it sounds like it goes nowhere. Right? Like, it's everything you described to me, to be fair, sound like it meant nothing to the plot.
And it also seems like they stopped being bad people, question mark? Like, I don't know.
yeah, that doesn't track, because then...
That's what I was about, the animalistic whole mind thing. I was like, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, it still makes sense, because he can't... I think what it is that when he had that whatever metal part in his head... and was dying, it caused enough of a confusion in whatever hive mind that was going on, because they all winced. They all went like, oh, we all got headaches. And then they fucking, the sun came up. And so I'm assuming that just wiped out everybody aside from these two characters. Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan going like, you got to promise me you're not going to kill our nephew. And then he's like, all right, fair enough. I'll leave you be. I'm not going to kill you now.
Wow. I mean,
That's why we can have your gangster movie and it'll just be a Stack fucking murdering the shit out of a bunch of gangsters and people coming after him.
I think the next part of this is Willie telling Mahershala Ali this, and then they call down Michael B. Jordan. That's to introduce us to the next Blade movie. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
And then there's like one more post-credits.
Oh my God.
Stacks will be in a Avengers 4.
He had a chair.
He now goes by Mobius.
The fuck? Okay.
I'm real sad you didn't see a lot.
I'm
sorry.
Quite happy.
This has become a long episode because you had no idea that happens.
No, I mean, I wanted to express how I really, before we leave, I should want to express the actual ending of this. I love I'll describe it as the gladiator ending, when he sees his family and his dead child, Elijah, which is...
Oh, which again, he like...
Elijah comes back. It's a dead baby.
Very cool sequence where when they, you know, he's like, oh, I got to deal with some shit. It's because he knew the KKK was going to show up, and that's right.
And
he does plop off his, like, the mojo bag, I think is what they were referring it to as. Mm-hmm. Beatrice, right? That was the character's name?
Right. Yes.
Beatrice, like, had given it to him, and it actually was
protecting him.
Protecting mm-hmm. him. Yeah. Cause there was like a weird moment earlier in the movie where they're talking and she's like, there's the screen starts shaking a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he pops it off because clearly he doesn't really care if he lives or dies. Even though he knows his brother's still out there. Anyway.
Does he? He seems pretty happy. He's dead. He seems pretty happy.
Yeah. No, he knows his brother's out there. I don't know. He let him live or be undead. But yeah, he fucking massacres like fucking 15 or 20 white guys
that were real quick. Planning to kill him. Yeah.
Yeah. Kill everybody in
and,
there. Yeah.
In that whatever battle or whatever, he gets shot and then slowly dies. But I just love that moment where he's like literally just smoking a cigarette and Beatrice or whatever, if it's real or not real, like tells him like, don't bring that smoke to your child, because his name is Elijah. So he wants him to not, his past, the smoke, the persona he built as a gangster, as a murderer and everything, he's going to leave that behind. And he's going to go fresh into his life, which Beatrice asked. So he asked Smoke like, hey, if I get scratched or they try to turn me, kill me before I turn, which so she could die, because she wants to make sure that she sees the child that died or was stillborn. Yes. Or just died. I think it was stillborn child. Which I thought was a very poignant. I love that moment. Great scene. Aside from all the other bullshit that happened that you're talking about, I love the way they ended this movie.
What the movie was missing, where I'd be like, all right, now I'm back on board, is after that whole conversation, and then like maybe Stack and Haley Seinfeld are like, no, come on, trying to convince him to change. And then out of the back, it's like, you better leave my friend Willie alone. And it's Delroy Lindo is still alive too, but he's a vampire also. Like, hey, get out of here. I just shit myself.
Yeah. Cut.
Which is a moment in the movie, by
oh, yeah.
If you're still listening to this insanity that I'm saying.
Clearly, I think it's fascinating that we had two completely different movie experiences, dude. Because of a 15 minute.
Because you didn't watch 15 minutes of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like a fool. I left when the credits rolled, obviously. Call that to, like, I'm not used to going to movies anymore. So I don't know. It's all this extra credit stuff. So, yeah, I left. Alrighty. Do you have any other last thoughts before we rate the movie?
No.
All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Sinners 7.5 sexy spooky bones.
I'm going to go, despite my issues with it, I'm going to say this is probably an 8. 8 for me.
Yeah, it was between 7 and 8 was a thing. And I was like, I got to give it right in the middle, I think.
I still think it's worth going to the movie theater. Go to the movie theater, watch this movie. 70mm, IMAX, so. whatever format you can watch it. Go watch it. Ryan Coogler.
It's fun. It's really funny a lot of the time.
Ryan Coogler is one of our best filmmakers.
We didn't even fucking talk about this sequence that I thought when it started, I was like, that's kind of goofy. But the more it played out, I was like, this is actually kind of beautiful. When it's like he starts playing the song and it's like, it transcends everything. So it goes to the future in the back. And it's like,
I didn't mention it.
Musicians. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Early on, I did mention it. But yes, that's probably, I think that's one of the boldest shot sequence I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, just
because did you, when it started off, were you like, oh, a little goofy?
No.
But the more it went on, I was like, oh.
No, I didn't think it was goofy at all. I knew exactly what he was like saying in it.
Had like a Bootsy Collins type of guy pop up first. And I was like, that's an interesting choice.
I loved it. I immediately zoned into what he was trying to say and what he was connecting all of the music together and how it makes you feel and how generationally and just going through every style of music that's come from the past to the present. And so, yeah, you
in different cultures,
You see modern day DJs, you see dancers, you see rappers, you see,
You get the Bloods and the Crips too being referenced.
Yeah,
which I thought was really cool.
I loved it. I loved that boldness to put something like this in a big budget movie, big mainstream movie, and that's why I endeared. I love that he always puts like a little bit of his stuff in all his movies, no matter what size of project he's making. So,
yeah,
very singularly like, him.
Like Stack and Haley Seinfeld will still be.
I don't know what any of that shit is. I'm just gonna forget about it as soon as we stop recording, because that's nonsense. That's complete nonsense. All right. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Mm-hmm.